This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Tom Sell. Tom is with Combest Sell & Associates. We'll talk DC in just a moment. First off, let's talk PR. That's Puerto Rico. Brian Combs with the National Ag Statistics Service.
That data provides information at the island, regional, and municipio level for Puerto Rico. So we're very glad that we could get that out. So we saw some interesting facts from that data. There was a increase of nearly 11% in producers under age 35. We've also seen continued rebuilding from some of the hurricane impacts in Puerto Rico. We've seen the dairy industry, the value of production was almost unchanged from the last time we did the Puerto Rico census. Then on those recovery efforts, really the production sales for commodities like coffee, plantains, bananas, pineapples, fruit and nursery crops had all shown some recovery.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Tom Sell. Tom's with Combest Sell & Associates. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Tony. Man, appreciate what you're doing and honored to be on.
Well, I sent you a text last week because I was pretty sure I saw you in the House Ag Committee hearing room and just wanted to make sure that was you before they panned the camera around. But it just goes to show there is you have to spend a lot of time in D.C. keeping up with what's going on for ag. Is that fair?
That is fair. Yeah, I've been involved in this ag policy world for many years now, really since 1995 when I went to Washington, D.C. as an intern. And we love it. You know, we think this nation's agricultural enterprise, this network of family farms spreading from coast to coast that are fully vested, you know, that have all their chips in the game to provide food and fiber and increasingly energy sources for our nation's people and beyond, exporting a significant amount of those goods. It's a huge blessing to every American, and it does so much for our economy, our autonomy, our culture as a nation. So we are very proud to get to work on these farm bills. And yeah, Tony, last week I was there with a great longtime client, Minnesota Corn Growers, their president, Dr. Dana Allen Tolley, testified on behalf of farmers, was asked to come in because they know that she is a compelling figure. Obviously they operate a dairy and corn and bean farm, alfalfa in southern Minnesota. And she just knocked it out of the park, you know, and really spoke to, I think, what is the concern? It's often being overlooked. You know, you hear Secretary Vilsack talk, and he just talks about 3 years of record net farm income as if everything is rosy out there in the country. And I'll tell you, Tony, from what I'm hearing, it's not. You know, people are sweating. Commodity prices have come down 40 to 50% in most cases. And most farm enterprises, even this year, are going to be in the red. And when you extend that outlook into 2025, as people will have to line up financing this winter for next year, it's looking ugly. I think we see some harbingers of that in with John Deere layoffs and that kind of thing. The ag economy seems to be shrinking and in decline. And so there's no better time. This is why we have farm bills, to try and get farm families through this. The current farm bill is outdated and not up to the task. There's no better evidence for that fact than the reality that we spent $60 billion in addition to the baseline farm bill in the last kind of scare, which was COVID, and of course the trade war before that. All that spending that was done through MFP and CFAP was in addition to the farm bill. And now the current economic situation is even worse. And so, you know, we think it's really important that we get a farm bill done this year.
And getting the farm bill done used to be one of those things that we didn't necessarily worry. We just knew that the House would have a version, the Senate would have a version. They'd work out differences, and we'd end up with a farm bill. But it seems like those days are long gone. Are you still holding on hope for a farm bill in 2024? Is it appearing like it's going to go into the next session?
You know me, Tony, and so my answer is a firm yes, I'm holding out hope. You know, things always look better in the rearview mirror. You know, those were peaceful and great times, but the reality of every farm bill is we have a lot of drama. We have people taking positions. You know, the legislative process, the art of compromise, is messy. You know, it's sausage making in Washington, D.C. That's what we do. And it's always challenging. There are always budget challenges. There are always political challenges. And this farm bill is no different. You know, we talk a lot about the coalition that gets these farm bills through. And the most important coalition is when agriculture comes together, because ag really is the force behind farm bills. You know, we're the ones that really need it, right? No other areas of the farm bill actually sunset. You know, the food stamp program is going to keep on going. Conservation programs keep on going. Crop insurance even keeps on going. But what sunsets this year and why we have to get a farm bill done is the Title I safety net. So my hope is, in some way, whether it's a complete farm bill wrapped into the extension, which is our ideal situation, and right now I agree with you that that may look a little bit bleak, or whether it's some skinny down version of that. Let's extend Title I. Let's add some things to address this declining farm income that's happening around the nation across crops. We need to stand by our nation's farmers, so let's do this kind of narrowly focused, very tailored and targeted assistance package, and hopefully to address, you know, the intervening time between the last disaster bill, 22. So maybe we address 23 and 24, extend this farm bill for 25, and maybe add some strength to that safety net. If we could even get something like that done this fall, I would be very pleased. And I think America's farm families and our nation would benefit from that in the long term, if we kind of head this off, if we get in front of it rather than trying to clean up the mess on the backside. So for those reasons, I do remain hopeful that we can get something done this fall. And I think we need to.
Talk about kind of cleaning up the mess, if you will. And in the past, we've had programs through two administrations, ad hoc disaster programs, the most recent one called ERP, the Emergency Relief Program. Yeah. And we're still talking, I believe, 2022 ERP, aren't we? And again, trying to fix something in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it is kind of a sad reality, particularly when there's so much need in rural America. You know, that bill was passed by Congress, to their credit. A lot of credit goes to guys like John Hoven from North Dakota and other appropriators. But they passed on December 29th of 2022, so that's 19 months ago, full 19 months ago. They passed this disaster package for 22, and they said, look, do it very simply. Build on what you've done in WIP and WIP Plus and the ERP that the Biden administration came in with. Kind of do it the same. Here's $3.7 billion. And look, crop insurance had paid out more, so they reduced the number a little bit, but everyone was really excited about that and happy about it, it seems, except for USDA, who really tried to reinvent the wheel. So they didn't put out any regs on it, and for about 10 months. It was October of 2022 when they finally – October of 2023 last year when they finally put out some regs 10 months later. And then it's just been a complete mess. You know, they actually had some provisions that have since been deemed unconstitutional by giving race-based or sexual or gender-based preferences in the bill. That was struck down by a federal district court in Amarillo. And then they had this wild progressive factor. So Congress has always been very clear about the pay limits on disaster programs. USDA fashioned a new and different pay limit. The net result, Tony, is out of that $3.7 billion, they've only gotten about $2 billion out the door. And that's $1.7 billion that should have been in farmers' pockets a year ago. Of course, farmers pay interest on the money that they don't have. It's always, you know, farmers are famously land rich but cash poor, and cash flow is the name of the game on operating these farms. And so the fact that they've been having to pay interest on so many of these dollars for so long since that bill was enacted by Congress is a real shame, and it's been a disservice to the farmers. So there may be efforts even this fall to try and finally clean that up. I know USDA, to their credit, they did finally set a deadline of April 14th. So if you had a disaster in 2022 and have not filed an application for Track 2 and think that you might qualify, it'd be a good idea to go into your FSA County office. The FSA County offices are outstanding. They just haven't gotten clear direction on this, and so it's been a challenge. But go in there and get the application filed, because this thing, the ground could kind of shift on this given the court case and things like that. So producers are going to want to have that application on file. And again, the deadline for that now is August 14th, 2 weeks from today, Tony. So, So I'd encourage farmers to get out there and get that application in their local FSA office.
Okay, Tom, 2 minutes left. And one of the members on the Democratic side kind of brought the Republicans to task on the floor, saying, how in the world can you ever expect to pass a farm bill if you can't even bring up an appropriations bill for ag? And so trying to fund for 2025, we're not quite there yet. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a true statement, but everyone knows it's also kind of a political statement because everyone knows that we're playing for kind of an end of year game. You know, it would be the same thing for a Republican to stand on the floor and say, where's the Senate? Why haven't you done anything? I mean, objectively, farm bills are a lot easier to pass in the Senate than the House. Why aren't y'all moving? So, you know, but rather than playing those political games, I think the key thing that people need to do is focus on this end of year and the lame duck Congress. And even in the appropriations bills that will have to be done prior to October 1st, this is where the need is. It's not going to be regular order. We don't have time. There aren't enough days on the clock. In either the Senate, controlled by Democrats, or the House, controlled by Republicans, to do a farm bill by regular order. And so the question is, can we get something cobbled together and hitching a ride on these programs or on these bills that will have to pass this fall? And I would just argue again, the need is there, and it is vivid, and it's real, and it's scary. And I think if Congress, the best of Congress, the true leaders will stand up and try and seize that opportunity here in the next few weeks.
A gentle reminder that when it comes to ag, it doesn't have a D or an R. It has a U.S. in there for all of us. So, Tom, thanks for your time. Thanks for the update. If we want to keep up with Combessell & Associates, can we find you online?
We are online. We're not the best on social media, but we're at www.combess-sell.com. And, of course, we always try and work in that bipartisan fashion. Colin Peterson has joined in with us, the former chairman of the House Ag Committee on the Democratic side. And we are all about trying to stand up for the values that are embodied in rural America and our nation's farm families who take on enormous risk each year to provide our nation in this world with an ample and affordable food supply. So really appreciate the opportunity, Tony.
Tom Sell, Combessell & Associates, joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Truck owners, want to turn your truck into the ultimate workhorse or off-road beast? The possibilities are endless in making your truck more versatile, more fun, and higher performing. When it comes to equipping your truck, there's only one name you need to know. Rascal Supply. North Highway 87 between 98th and 114th Streets in Lubbock, or call 806-300-8007. For all your truck accessories, Rascal takes your truck to the next level.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Tom Sell with Combessell & Associates. In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
The Agriculture Department is expecting food price inflation for this year to be only 1%, and for 2025,
just slightly lower than what we're expecting in 2024.
Agriculture Department economist Megan Schweitzer says the long-range historical data and current trends all point to another year of very slow, almost no, food price inflation. To put it in context,
so for food at home or grocery prices, last year we saw prices increase by 5% in 2023. This year in 2024, we're forecasting those grocery prices to increase by 1%. And then next year, looking into 2025, we're forecasting grocery prices to increase by 0.7%.
0.7%. That is, of course, barring any unforeseen shocks to the food system, such as we saw during COVID. Gary Crawford, Washington.